We are a bit ahead of schedule, and so we are going to move around the agenda items because I am informed that while we're not ready on item I, we are ready on item J, action item on trial court allocations, criminal justice realignment, court-appointed dependency counsel, and workers' compensation liabilities. And we welcome Zlatko Theodorovich and David Yamasaki and Stephen Chang.
Members of the council and the chief. We're here to discuss a few allocations that have been needed to be brought to your attention and approved regarding three particular items. As you know, the council has the authority, the statutory authority, to allocate funding that's appropriate in the annual budget act from the trial court trust fund and the state trial court improvement and modernization fund. The trial court budget advisory committee convenes meetings periodically to review those allocations and make recommendations, and we are coming forward with three particular issues for your consideration. First, we had meetings in January regarding two of the items. Recommendation number three came from an issue that we have a special subcommittee on realignment, and recommendation four came from another subcommittee that looks extensively at any of the allocations made from the TCTF and the IMF for the support of the trial courts. I think we'd like to note that the work of the subcommittees as they were brought forward to the Budget Advisory Committee, they were either unanimous or only one no vote. So this was just reflects the good work of the staff and the members to bring these issues and have them fully deliberated and considered. The first issue is recommendations one and two related to court-appointed dependent attorney caseloads and funding. Currently, the council allocates $103.7 million as base allocations, but trial courts submit other revenues from individuals who are able to pay for their representation, and there's been about $2.3 million that's accumulated in the trial court trust fund. We are recommending that you allocate, based on a methodology that was adopted at a prior council meeting, to distribute those to courts that are eligible for reimbursement as identified in the report. We are also asking that any of the unspent $2.3 million that is allocated be carried forward to subsequent fiscal years and retained in the trial court trust fund. This way it does not run afoul of the 1% fund balance restriction. The funds that are retained in the trial court trust fund are not subject to that 1%. And so we think that this is a way to help mitigate the cost and the caseloads for these cases. Any questions before we move on to the next recommendation?
Commissioner Alexander.
And by keeping it in the trust fund, it isn't part of the 2% the Judicial Council is holding either.
Right, it is a separate interest.
Thank you, Zlatko.
Next, I'm going to turn it over to David Yamasaki to discuss the work of the Criminal Justice Realignment Subcommittee.
Thank you, Zlatko, Chief, members of the Council. You may recall earlier this fiscal year, the Council took action, which was a recommendation from the Budget Advisory Committee, to distribute or allocate 50% of the monies that have been appropriated by the state with respect to funding the needs related to realignment. The reason for the 50% allocation was because we were going to see a whole new population of cases that resulted in new legislative action starting in October of this year, this fiscal year. And so we distributed 50% based on the ongoing or the previous historical workload that we saw. And what we wanted to do was take a look at the new population of cases resulting from this new responsibility. Judge Earl, as chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, appointed me and Judge David Wesley to chair a subcommittee that was tasked with evaluating perhaps a new methodology for distributing the remaining 50% of the monies. You'll recall that we received a little over $9 million. The balance is $4.61 million. And so we convened on three different occasions trying to take a look at what courts were seeing relative to realignment cases. And the conclusion that we reached was it's too early. It's too early to really get a good feel for what we will see in the long haul of the amount of work that is associated with these cases. So we took the information that we had on hand and we took a look at the petitions that we received, but we also examined the population of the community of cases that we would ultimately have to deal with and came up with a new formula that couples both population and petitions and came up with an approach to distribute the remaining $4.61 million to the courts using that that approach. So what we did was combined the petitions and the population, came up with a formula, applied a percentage, which is displayed in the chart, and that way we came up with a methodology for the balance of this year to utilize the 4.61. You'll see some of the courts ended up receiving an increase over the previous first half of the fiscal year, but that was in large part because they started seeing increases in their workload. So it seemed very appropriate. Some courts saw a reduction, but obviously we were using the same metrics and the same data elements, and the recommendation was presented to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee last month, which was approved, and that's the approach that is being recommended before this body for the distribution of the remaining 4.61. A couple things to note. In previous years, we have been able to accumulate a small reserve. The recommendation that we have is to continue to hold that in the event that for the balance of this year, perhaps, we may have to make some moderate adjustments where courts may not have sufficient resources to cope with those cases. That's one issue. The other thing is, as we start completing this fiscal year, we'll get a better idea of the types of cases and the volume of workload that's associated with those matters. And our recommendation is that a new approach be reexamined once the data is in so that we can come up with a solid formula for distributing the monies in subsequent fiscal years.
Thank you.
Questions?
Judge Jacobson.
I've been looking at this report. I have some concerns about this formula. So if you look at what we're supposed to be doing with realignment, overreaching philosophy is to reduce the revolving door. And if you look at these numbers, so this formula takes 50% based on the population of people on PRCS or on parole in a county and 50% based on the reported workload. I don't recall having seen the numbers. Have all 58 counties reported them for that three-month period?
All of the courts are required to post information relative to the petition filings that they receive.
My concern about this formula is two counties are let me back up a second. We talk a lot about how our 58 trial courts are different counties and have different cultures. In my time in the last couple of years of working with parole, one of the things I've come to learn is they have enormous differences in their culture from place to place as well, as dramatic, I think, as what we see in our trial courts. So I'm going to call out two counties here that I'm concerned about. One is my own, Alameda County, and the other is Los Angeles County. If you look at these numbers, the amount of work they account for about 30%, 31% of the population of supervised persons. If you look at the petition or the workload account, they account for 50% of the workload. If you boil it down a little farther, in L.A. County, it appears that they're filing petitions on about 1 out of 4.3 supervised persons, in Alameda County on about
one out of 5.9. If you go to look at all the other counties, you have an average that's close to one out of 10 supervised persons. So my concern about the use of this formula in this way is we are essentially providing financial incentive to let parole do whatever they're going to do. If they're simply going to not supervise, not import evidence-based practices, they're simply going to file petitions at the drop of a hat, we're rewarding the counties that are letting that kind of behavior go on. If we look at other counties, I mean, just take a look at the large population counties. I think Santa Clara County is somewhere around 1 in 10. Some counties, some of the large population counties are 1 in 15. LA is 1 in 4.3. Alameda, 1 in 5.9. So essentially, this formula rewards Alameda County and Los Angeles County for not sort of staying on top of parole about how they're doing their supervision. So we need to make some sort of evaluation, it seems to me, of where we are with the philosophy that's behind realignment. And it might be that a better allocation methodology would be simply based on the population of supervised persons. That, in turn, would mean that for my county or for Los Angeles County, it would incentivize us to reduce the number of petitions being filed. And the way to do that is to encourage the supervising entities, probation and parole, to do more in terms of intermediate sanctions. Now, there may be another explanation, such as these two counties have an enormously high number of people absconding. Someone absconds and fails to report, there's nothing to do but file a petition. Maybe these two counties have a higher number of people who are committing serious felony offenses. Serious felony offenses committed, there's nothing to do but file a petition. But I'm just concerned about this formula at face value based on the spreadsheet that's here, that there's an inordinate incentive to those two counties to just let business as usual go on. And that's certainly something I was concerned about during the time that I was sitting up at the parole revocation court in our county last year. But those are my comments.
Very, very good point, Judge Jacobson. And as we looked at you know, how different courts are dealing with this population of cases, we were trying to land on a particular metric. What can we count on? And by way of example, Santa Clara, they deal with a lot of cases without a actual formal filing of a petition.
That's because you have Judge Manley.
and he's obviously somebody who's very creative and obviously somebody who's very passionate about dealing with these folks.
And he stays on top of parole, too. He's very active in pushing parole to do things other than simply file petitions.
And so we can obviously take a look at, as we go forward, if I'm asked to continue working on this subcommittee, a way to perhaps come up with a new formula of the population. We're almost at the end of this fiscal year. You know, switching gears too drastically would obviously create an issue for the courts that were anticipating some level of funding for the balance of the year. But that said, we all agree that we need to come up with an appropriate measurement so that monies are distributed.
I don't have an objection to what you're proposing here. I'm talking about going forward.
Right.
So,
rest assured, that is something that we've committed to.
It's good that we're moving off the CDC projections because they have been historically accurate by 15 and 20%. But I'm concerned about applying 50% of it based on the number of petitions that the court accepts, because it takes away the incentive to do something other than lock people up, other than process petitions. That's my concern.
You could just look at any outlier courts and maybe do further investigation and determine why they're so different from the majority of other counties. And it may be that it's just more serious crimes or absconding, but it's as easy as that. You wouldn't, you know, necessarily have to change the whole formula. Just look at the outlier courts and maybe modify. Okay, that'd be a lot easier than looking at it all from top to bottom, because everybody else seems to be falling well in place to the formula.
Any further discussion or questions about item number recommendation number three, which we understand is, as indicated, a one-time action with a commitment to look at the formula
again and fresh after this, after the distribution of this $4.61 million.
Okay, next is recommendation number four regarding workers' compensation tail claim liabilities. The branch is responsible from January 1st of 2001 for the conclusion of any workers' comp claims as a result of employees that used to be part of the county. When this issue was looked at as part of the allocation of improvement and modernization funds back in August, at that time there were no known tail claims, and therefore no funds were allocated to that. There have been historical allocations to fund this, given it is a branch responsibility, is managed by the Judicial Branch Workers' Compensation Program. Since that time, we have now a claim coming out of the Sacramento County that we need an allocation to cover those costs of approximately $719,000 coming from the IMF. So that's the recommendation of the Budget Advisory Committee on that issue.
Thank you, Zlatko. So we have before us four recommendations. Any of them are subject to further discussion or move or a motion. Judge Jacobson.
Move to adopt all four.
Second by Jim Fox. Any further discussion? Not hearing any or any hands raised. All in favor of the four recommendations, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for the presentation. The recommendations are adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So now, I believe we have, yes. So at this point, we are 20 minutes ahead, and we're not prepared on any of our other panel presentations at this time because we are running some time ahead of our agenda. So we are going to take a break from now until 12:45, and we will be starting with item L or I, depending on the availability of the presenters and public comment. Thank you.